Amen. Praise the Lord for the special this morning, and what a blessing it's been. Every special has just hit home. Amen. Just spoke to my heart, and I appreciate each one. And just to sense the presence of God in this place, there's no place I'd rather be than right here in our worship services today. I trust you feel the very same way. The book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation, chapter 19, the very last book of the Bible. Chapter 19. We're going to start reading in verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 16. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. As I read, you follow right along with me. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, it has been such a blessing just to be in this place, to sense your presence, to be ministered to through congregational singing, the special music that we've heard. But now, Father, as we open up the very precious and powerful words of God, I pray, God, that you would help each one of us to have that ear to hear what you have for us. Pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word. Use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The book of the Apocalypse, which is the disclosure of future events. The Apocalypse, the disclosure of future events. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, in the very beginning of the book of Revelation, the Bible says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So this whole book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus Christ brought, and it reveals exactly what's going to take place in the future. The disclosure of future events, the Apocalypse. John, on the Isle of Patmos, was given a vision. He was taken up and he was revealed these things by an almighty God. John writes down what he sees in a vision, and he describes it with symbols that best pictures what he saw. That's what we have here. And this idea of, and this is the second coming of Christ, and I saw heaven opened. He seen the skies just part, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him. And so we find that what John saw, the best he could describe it is by using the symbols that we have. And God knew that this is how we would be able to see this and somewhat be able to picture it in our own minds. So Revelation chapter 19 and verses 11 through 16 is a picture of Christ's second coming. Now, there's some things going to take place in leading up to this and the rapture and the tribulation period, but this is when Jesus Christ actually comes to this earth a second time. Can I tell you that it will be quite different from his first? For the last month, the month of December, we've been looking at and understanding how the first coming of Christ and how it impacted the world like nothing else has ever impacted the world. How it was revealed in the Old Testament and how what the Bible has to say about the coming of Christ and the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, his second coming will be quite different. He's not going to come as a baby in a manger. He's not going to come as a sacrificial lamb. His first coming to this earth, he came as an infant. He came as a virgin-born baby. He came as a sacrificial lamb with one purpose in mind. After he would give an example to humanity for Christianity and how that believers ought to live their lives, he came with this in mind, that he would be that sacrificial lamb, that he would lay his life down on Calvary's cross, pay a price that humanity owed and could not pay, and then resurrect a third day with a gift, amen, that he could give whosoever would call upon him, a gift of salvation. He's not coming as a baby. He's not coming as a lamb. He's not coming to reveal God's great love for humanity. You see, he's already done that. The world has had opportunity for some time to grasp that God loves us. And we still have this. I mean, the world still has the opportunity to look to the coming of Jesus Christ and to what he accomplished in his life and what he did for humanity. And the whole world can still today just call upon the name of the Lord and they can be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. And it helps us understand that God did this because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so the opportunity that the world has had to understand the very love of God and receive this gift of salvation, this has been an opportunity that the world has had for over 2,000 years. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, I think it helps us to best understand his second coming. He says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword." We know that to relate to the Bible, but it should smite the nations, and it shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress, and look right here, of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Christ's second coming is to reveal God's fierceness. He is a God to be feared. Most of the world today, they want to just reflect, and even Christianity to a point, they just want to reflect God's love, and we ought to do that. There's no doubt there, but they fall way too short of understanding who God is. God is love, and there's no one that loves you more than what God has. There's no one who has sacrificed what God has sacrificed for humanity so that they might understand and know and receive the love of God. But we have to understand that God is not all just love. God is a God of justice. God is a God of judgment. And we find in God's second coming, in Christ's second coming, he comes and it is written down for us and we have it to look to, that we might understand that there is a fierceness and there is a wrath of God. I love the wording, fierceness. The fierceness. He is to be feared. Yeah. He has a wrath. God wants us to know that not only is he a God of great love. If we look at Jesus Christ, there is no one can have a doubt how much, if all of it's true, if you believe that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God and see what he did and how he lived his life, and what he did to bring salvation to humanity, there is no doubt in our minds, if we believe that God has a great love. Yeah. I dare one of you to think about giving your own child to die for a wretched sinner. Think about that. And that is just a taste of the great love of God, that He would be willing to do that. So God wants us to know about His great love, but He also wants us, as an almighty God, to know of His fierceness and His wrath, a God of justice and judgments. The world today, especially, as we're getting closer to the end of the world as we know it, we need to understand that God is more than just a God of love, but there is a judgment of sin, and there is a fierceness to fear God. It might help some to turn from their wicked ways. But as we looked at this passage of Scripture that clearly reveals the second coming of Christ, the picture that John gives us, and that we can read it and see it actually happening, God wants us to understand this, and the purpose is to understand His fierceness and understand His wrath and His justice and His judgment. But I want you to see something here. First of all, He will represent the same thing. Now, He came as a babe in a manger. He came as a sacrificial lamb. But what He came representing is the very same things that He will represent in His second coming. What do you mean by that, preacher? Look at what the Bible says about what they called Him. What John would write down, He was called faithful and true. A faithful God to fulfill prophecy. A faithful God who fulfilled promises. We can look into the Old Testament and we can see the prophecies and the promises of God sending a Messiah, sending a Christ child, a virgin-born Christ child. And so He came, and as Jesus came the first time, He was fulfillment to reveal the faithfulness of God to what He prophesied or what He promised humanity. Hebrews in chapter 10. And write it down if I go too fast for you. I want you to go back and reread it later. But Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says this. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What we believe, what we put our faith in. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful. That promised. Now we know He has been faithful because as we look back some 2,000 years ago when Jesus came the first time, He was faithful to fulfill His prophecies. He was faithful to fulfill His promises of a Savior. Amen. And so when He comes back the second time, He's representing the faithfulness of God. Because He said before He would leave, I will come again. As we study the New Testament Scriptures, it is there for us to read and understand that while we live in this New Testament church age, we are looking for the beginning of the second coming of Christ, which will begin with a rapture of the church. And the Bible says when He comes, He will be called, first of all, faithful. Because He's going to do what He said He would do. And not only is He called faithful, the Bible says He's called true. He's going to be a God that cannot lie. Titus in chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. You looked at Jesus Christ and He was truth. Acknowledging the truth which is after godliness. And He revealed how that we ought to live as humans to please God. How we ought to live in order to live godly lives. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So understanding that Jesus came to represent not only faithfulness of God, but the truth of God, to understand that what the Bible says is true. The beginning of all things began the very way the Bible says that all things began. Put your faith in God, not in philosophers. Put your faith in God and not in humanists. Put your faith in God and what the Bible records as how everything got started, how everything was created, instead of those so-called humanists that have an education that wants everybody to believe that they know more than God knows. And the way that they explain the things that cannot be explained is through adding on another million or billion years to it. God is very clear as to what we are to understand. God is very clear on how all things began. He is very clear on the truth. Jesus came to prove that. He came to represent faithfulness and truth the first time. He came differently, but he came representing faithfulness and truth. Coming the second time, totally different, but representing the same things. Faithfulness and truth. That's what the Bible says, first of all, about him. Look down to verse, go back with our text. His second coming in verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called. Now, did you see? He's called faithful and true. But now the Bible says also, not only is he called faithful and true, that's what he's representing. His name is called the Word of God. That's what he came representing to start with. Look back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we studied this and understanding what the Bible says about his first coming. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was the Word. And the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And if you look down to verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. So God came in the flesh representing the Word. Jesus Christ came representing God and representing the very words of God. And then we find his second time. His second coming. He's called the Word of God. I don't know about you, but when I was reading and studying and was seeing this, I'll tell you what, I had goosebumps. I was rejoicing and saying, whew, hallelujah. What a blessing it is. Now he is coming totally different. He came the first time to represent the very love of God, a love that no one can deny, a great, powerful love that brings salvation to all humanity. All you have to do is believe and then receive, and you can be saved because of the great love of God. But God is not only of a great love, God is also a fierce God, and God is also a God of judgment and a God of wrath. And he says the second time, what's going to be emphasized more is that he's coming to judge. If God does not come in our lifetime, if the rapture does not come. Now, before he comes a second time, we know that there's going to be the rapture. There's going to be 7-year tribulation. Amen. And then his second coming to the earth for a set up a millennial reign. We understand that. And so we know it's at least 7 years away from today. Amen. But if he doesn't come in our lifetime, when your life ends, sad to say, but the truth of it is, there's more than likely some in this room. 2016 will be the year on your tombstone. And the Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die. And after this, what? The judgment. So even if the rapture does not take place, you are not promised tomorrow. And if you was to die today, you need to understand that God is more than just a God of love who gave you an opportunity to receive His love. But if you fail to receive His love, when you die, you will face a judgment. You will face the fierceness and the wrath of an almighty God without a mediator, without Jesus Christ to plead for your case. That ought to motivate any and every lost person to want to receive the free gift of everlasting eternal life. Amen. To want to see God not only in His judgment, but see God right now as we have an opportunity in His great love. And take advantage of His great love and what He offers. Wow. His fierceness and wrath will be directed toward those, listen right here, who deceived the world. First of all, what He will direct His wrath and His fierceness toward is to the leadership that deceived the world. Now, I love that. Go back with me in Revelation chapter 19. I want you to look at verse 20 with me. He comes representing God the same. But He comes and He comes to judge, first of all. He's going to direct His fierceness and His wrath at those deceivers. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. The first ones that will go into an eternal Gehenna hell is the two that was leading the earth in deception. That's the first ones that we find that He deals with. The beast and the false prophet. Two demon-possessed world leaders that will usher in the Antichrist. Are they alive today? Could be. Are you going to tell us who they are? If I did, I would. Amen. I'm not going to make accusations. I could probably put a couple names out there that everybody would say, yeah, I knew it. That's him. No doubt I could do that, but I'm not going to do that because I don't know for sure. I do know there's a lot of world leaders that are very deceptive today. I believe there's a lot of leaders in the United States of America that have been deceived themselves and that are deceiving Americans as to truth. And as to righteousness, I can. And so understanding what the Bible says, when the second coming of Christ, the ones He's going to focus on to start with in His fierceness, His wrath, is the two leaders that are demonically possessed, the beast and the false prophet, and going to immediately take them and put them into an eternal Gehenna hell. God wanted us to know that. Because His wrath is going to be seen by all deceivers. All deceivers. If you're teaching somebody something, you better make sure that it's truth. And the Bible gives us a warning at the end of this book right here that we're just reading about. And He says, don't add to or take away from My word. Don't tell somebody that I've said something when I haven't said it. And don't take something away that I want them to hear that you don't want them to hear. They need to hear exactly what I say because God says what He means and He means what He says. Don't add to or take away from this Bible. Just preach the Bible. That's the commission we've been given. Just preach the word. God says, because My wrath and My fierceness is going to be upon those deceivers first. That's what it tells me. Revelation chapter 20. Not only will He put the beast and the false prophet. These are two men that have been leaders, whether men or not, but leaders that have been demonically possessed to create this antichrist to the world. And then in verse 20 he says this, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil himself, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. This is not Gehenna hell, because you can't get out of Gehenna hell. But Satan is not there. He's bound in this pit for 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should... Look right here. Why is he after him? Why is he going to show him his fierceness? That he should not deceive the nations. Satan is behind all deception. He's the father of all lies. That he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. After that he's cast in with the false prophet and the beast into eternal Gehenna hell. But for this time, the Bible says his fierceness is going to be directed at those who deceive. Wow. Satan himself will be bound so that he will not be able to do what he's been doing since Adam and Eve. Deceiving the nations. Can I tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that there's some sitting in this auditorium, in this worship, place of worship today, that in some areas you've been deceived. And Satan is the one behind it. He's blinded you to true salvation. Possibly he's blinded you to true biblical baptism. He's blinded you to what the true church is. He's blinded you to God's will for your life. He's blinded you to certain things that the Bible says we ought to do, that he has justified in your mind that you don't have to do. He has blinded, whatever it is. I know that how powerful Satan is. He's powerful enough to deceive the nations. And he's not going to be put into this holding place where he can't deceive until the second coming of Christ. So the beast and the false prophet very well could be alive today. And what they're doing, the Bible records and helps us to understand, they're deceiving the nations. The devil himself, who's behind it all, who is the main enemy, he is deceiving the nations. And so if it's going to lead up to this point when Jesus comes back, he's going to address those deceivers, listen to me, then we have to beware and not be deceived today. Because it's taking place. It's taking place. God wants us to know that. It's taking place. So with all that, I'm saying, wow. So how should this knowledge affect us today? Going into a new year. I remember back when we went into the 21st century. Going into 1999 to 2000, there was a fear. This is when it's coming. Can you remember back? I mean, everybody was afraid that everything was going to shut down. There was going to be a world disasters and no heat because of all the computer systems we've learned to rely upon. They were all going to shut. And there was more people in church in 2000. There's more people who, because of that, say, hey, there's something to this. And there was, and there still is. But it's 16 years later. And the world has become more complacent than what they were before. And Satan has been deceiving for another 16 years since then. And the world has lost ground to evil. Think about it. 16 years ago, where morality was. Think about where we thought, what the mentality was, even with those running for election, how they wanted to lead the world, how they wanted to lead the United States as to how we're being led today. And they're calling that which is evil, good. And that which is good, evil. The truth of the Word of God reveals that there's coming a day when that's going to happen. But the deception is, it's not happening when it is happening. So how should this knowledge that we find here in the Revelations that God has revealed to us affect us today? Can I tell you, the first thing is, today we can know the truth. It's written down, recorded. Promise by the very same God who written it has had it, preserved it for us, saying heaven and earth shall pass away. My word, never going to pass away. Because this is what I'm going to judge you by. I'm going to judge you by what I have preserved for you, because through the Word of God, you've had the opportunity to know my love. Through the Word of God, you've had opportunity to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, it's because you have chosen to believe a lie. And you have chosen to allow others to deceive you. As I said, evil because of deception has continued to gain ground all over the world. The church that Jesus established when he came the first time has not been commissioned to take up arms and fight a physical war today. Some try to think that they're supposed to, and that's not it. You don't help the cause of Christ by going and blowing up abortion centers. You don't help the cause of Christ by taking it on yourself to be able to shoot all those that are living evil. Listen to me, that is not Christianity. Look at how Jesus came the first time. He gave an example of us, for us to be able to love. He gave an example for us to realize we overcome evil with good. America is a powerful nation today because it began with looking to overcome evil with good. When America stops being good, America will lose its power. Yeah. Although wars must be fought, wars were fought in Bible times, wars are fought today, and we need to fight physical battles for physical freedoms. There's no doubt. America has been engaged in many wars, and I'm for fighting physical wars. But for the church, what God has commissioned the church, it's not for us to take up arms. We are called to help the world to know the truth before his second coming. Most important, if the world would believe in the love of God, that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, if the world would hold on to Christianity, it would solve all the world's problems. And the only reason the world is not receiving Christ and Christianity is because the world has been deceived. The only reason there'd be somebody here who would not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've not done it before, to do it today, the only reason you would not do that is because you have believed the lies of the devil and you have been deceived. And God says, I want you to understand, right now you have an opportunity to receive the very love of God, but there's coming a day when Jesus Christ will come a second time, not as a baby and not as a lamb. He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will come to reveal the fierceness and the wrath of an almighty God directed at those deceivers first of all. So 2016, all have choices to make. What will you put your faith in? It begins there, your belief in God or a disbelief in God. A person, a child's belief in God or a child's disbelief in God will cause them to go in opposite directions. That's what you will base the rest of your life and how you're going to live your life, and whether or not the Bible is true or not. And the world is teaching our young people in this generation the Bible is not true. And we wonder why evil is gaining ground, even in America. I'm going to close with Proverbs chapter 1. Look there with me. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 24. I believe this is insight into his second coming and what will be taking place when he comes in his fierceness and his wrath. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused. The world's refusing it. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh unto you, tribulation time, no doubt. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me, while you have the opportunity, is what he's saying here, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. 2016. Begins today. Your worship of God, first Sunday of the year. All of us will have choices. And possibly right now, God's saying, this is the most important choice that you'll make for the rest of your life. Have you and will you receive the love of God? Or will you reject the love of God and have to face God in his fierceness and his wrath? Because God is all. God is a God of love. But God is also a God of fierceness and wrath. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this is exactly what God would have me to preach today. Only God knows who's going to be here. Only God knows what you've been going through. Where you're at. Can you look at your life and say, I've based my life upon truth. I'm living with the love of God in view. Or when you look at your life, are you living a life of deceit? Blinded to the truth. This morning, make the right decisions. Make the decision that God would have you to make right now. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word that you have preserved for us that we might know the truth. And I pray, God, this morning, right now, in this invitation, as we have preached and presented exactly what you wanted, I pray that as we have opportunity to respond, that there would be many that would want to respond in making the right decisions, the decisions you want them to make, before it's eternally too late. Bless in this invitation.